1 Kings chapter 18. If you found your place, I would ask you to remain seated tonight. Amen. Boy, I about got Miss Claudia. She was about to jump. I was going to see who would. I'm going to ask you to remain seated tonight. We've got a little bit of lengthy text, and I want you to remain seated tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Look with us in verse number 21 tonight. The Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning until even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or a peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known that this day thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there. Amen. And tonight, as we came into 1 Kings, we're going to continue into the thought of a mountain mover. And boy, as we've covered these thoughts, I have personally enjoyed these thoughts and enjoyed these messages myself. And as we covered through Daniel Sunday morning, my heart was drawn simply over to Elijah, and simply at this moment in his ministry. Many of you tonight would agree that Elijah accomplished more things in his ministry than most men see in their lifetime. In a short span, what Elijah was able to accomplish. And tonight, as we came into this text, we have the understanding, and some preachers will not pronounce it Baal, but tonight I simply call him Paul, but they pronounce this false god. And he had 450 men that was his prophets. Elijah was quick to proclaim that he was the only one who served the Lord God. He was the only one during this time that truly served the Lord. Could you imagine
at this moment in His ministry, as He's standing here before these people, and He's begging them and pleading with them to serve God, that not a one, Brother Don, would follow what He said do. And not a one would take up and say, you know what, I'll serve God with you. And he stood here by himself serving the Lord. Tonight I'll say this to you. We as America, or as people of America, would agree that America is evil. And sometimes we can agree tonight, and I believe you would agree with me, is that we are the minority of this place. And we are the minority of America. And a lot of folks tonight have turned to a wicked way, and they turn to a godless way. And boy, a lot of times we feel like we're by ourselves. And the devil comes by and he simply says, well, everybody else is doing this, why don't you do it too? And we contemplate on those decisions about doing what everybody else is doing. Listen to me tonight. Stand bold in these wicked days. It pays to stay focused and to stay bold. Elijah was focused. It didn't matter. Now, I'll say this to you tonight before we go too far with this, but Elijah was a man. We'll cover that in his life tonight. He was simply a man. And everybody in our text throughout these series has been a man or a woman. And at some point in time, they have failed. And I'll say this to you tonight. You are not going to be absolutely perfect. At some moment in time, you are going to fail. But what you've got to do is pick yourself up and dust yourself off and go on for God. You can't dwell in what you should have done, and you can't dwell in what should have been, but you can continue on in your ministry for the Lord. And as Elijah was here, he had challenged these prophets. He had challenged them. He said, let's find out who's God. Can I say to you tonight, we need some people that are bold. We need some people that are willing to put what they believe on the line, willing to push for God. Listen to me. I'll say this. If you cave in, listen, if you cave in and you give in on one little bit, and maybe you accept something, and maybe you don't condemn it, neither do you condone it, or you condone that one thing, listen to me. It's like a snowball effect. It starts. And you can't stop it. And I'll say this to you tonight. We are a King James Version church. And if we let one preacher preach with a different version, we ought to accept them all. You can't give in on one and not take the whole lump sum. And Elijah was standing bold. Listen to me now. Listen, as long as God allows me to pastor here, we will have the King James Version. That's without question. He goes along with the contemporary movement and the modernist and the Calvinist. It goes on with them. You begin to allow that, you've got to take it all in. Right. And I'll say this to you tonight. We must be careful. We must take a stand. You say, oh, preacher, everybody else, all the other churches are doing it. What's God say about it? What's God's words? Where are our convictions? Where are our standards? Where are our beliefs? And Elijah was putting these men to the test. He said, you believe so much in what you've got. He said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's take two bullocks. He said, and we'll not put fire under it. And he said, you call for your God, and then we'll see if the fire falls. And then when you're done, I'll take this heifer, this ox, and I'll offer it up. And I'll pray, and we'll see who God is. Can I say to you tonight, there's coming a time in America where people have trusted in other things. And there's going to come a day where they're going to have to choose who they're going to serve. And I'll say this to you, I hate to say this, but I truly believe that homosexual crowd, some have been turned over to a reprobate mind. Where God can't touch them, they've went to so far of an extent that they can't come back, and they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. God's dealt with them. God's dealt with them. And I'm going to say this. They have made a choice at some point in time in their life to either walk away or walk with Him. And I'll say this to you tonight. That's what Elijah was challenging these prophets. He said, I want to see what He'll do. Bible says that they took the wood and they put it on the altar. They took the bullock and they cut him up and they put him on the altar. And says then, Paul, could you imagine 450 men getting around and they're hollering for their God and they're praying. And boy, they've prayed from morning to noon and ain't nothing happened. Can I say this to you tonight? There's a lot of folks hoping in a lot of things and it ain't happening. They're hoping it's going to get better. Listen to me. A lot of folks thought that if Donald Trump got in, everything's going to be different. It ain't no different. Paul, my morning, I wake up the same and I go to light all and I work and I come home. And some nights I cook supper, some nights Hannah cooks supper. And then every now and then my mother-in-law feels sorry for us and puts a roast in the crock pot and she cooks supper. We go to bed. I wake up the next morning, Lord willing, I go and do the same thing. Brother Paul, it ain't helped my bank account one bit. Listen to me. It ain't changed my routine one little bit. It ain't helped me do one thing I owed it any better. But I will say this. Every morning I still get up and pray. When I get time, I do my morning devotion. Listen, it hadn't changed. It didn't change when Obama was in office. But I'll say this to you tonight. They're worshiping the wrong person. Listen, there's folks that worship the doctor. There's folks that worship their money. And if they can get a little more money, life would be a little bit better. No, it wouldn't. You know what happened? If they got a little bit more money, they'd spend that money somewhere else. They'll go in debt somewhere else. And here these men are, these 450 men, they're around that altar. They're crying out. That doesn't work, Brother O'Dean. Now I'm going to say this. Number one, if my religion involved me cutting myself, I don't want to be a part of it to start with. I don't know about you, but there ain't nothing worse than having something stuck in the end of your finger. You agree? A big old splinter or a metal piece. And Brother Chuck, these men were so devout in their religion against Elijah that they started cutting themselves. And the Bible said here in 1 Kings, I want you to notice what it says. It said, and the blood gushed out. Now can you imagine? They're cutting their veins and their arteries and they're hoping that this false God shows up and does something. And Elijah starts mocking them. He says, where's he at? Said, is he talking that he cannot hear? Is he out pursuing? Notice what he says. He says, is he traveling or is he asleep? You know what Elijah was saying to these men? He said, the God you serve is bound by whatever you think it is. He says, but my God can hear when He speaks. My God's still able, even though He might be traveling. He is omnipresent. He is saying, my God is available at all times. And He says, you know what? He said, my God is so real, He don't have to take a nap. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to think about this a little bit. Can you imagine, as it's getting nighttime here, it's Wednesday night going into Thursday, that over in Korea, where our Olympic people are at, it's getting ready to be morning time on Thursday morning. They're getting ready to start their day, and we're still a day behind. I just confused Brother Chuck. He said, preacher, I'm struggling to get through to make sure it's Wednesday, and you done talking about Thursday over here, and we're still in Wednesday. But I want you to think about something. Well, Kenny, my God can be over in Korea on Thursday answering prayers and be in Rhonda on Wednesday night answering prayers. Amen. Now, that's pretty amazing. Amen. And Elijah had the confidence in him. And he says, you know what? He says, y'all do what you got to do. And so they finish out. And Elijah says, you know what? It's getting time to the burnt offering. And he says, here's what we're going to do. He says, you've had your time. You've had all day. He said, Brother Chuck, it's my turn. Bible says that he took 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And he stacked these stones and he built the altar back. They had tore down the altar. I'll say this to you. That's what's wrong in a lot of homes in America. They've tore down their altar.
You're right.
They've took it out. And that's a different message for a different day. But it says he takes these stones and he builds the altar back. And he says he puts the wood in order. Can I say this to you? God is a God of order. There is a certain order in serving God, and you can't preach till you get saved. You got to get saved before you preach. Listen to me. You can't get saved till you repent. God is a God of order. And I truly believe we are people that need order. We are people that need structure. And God has demonstrated that. And Elijah stacked the wood on. He took the bullock and he cut him up and he put it on there. And then he told him, he says, you know what? He says, rather than me do all this, y'all get involved too. He said, I want you to take those four barrels and I want you to fill them with water. He said, just for your conscience. And he says, I want you to dump it on the wood, bullock, and everything. He says, now don't do it again. But one time, he said, but go do it again. And then the Bible teaches us that Elijah took the water and he filled up the trench that he had dug around it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've tried to start a lot of fires. Brother Johnny, wet wood just won't burn, will it? Brother Don, you've set a lot of stuff on fire. You worry, Mr. Ordain, how does wet wood burn? Yeah. Do you reckon he prays down the fire from heaven? Brother Melvin, you've burnt some wood before. Wet wood don't want to burn. Now you get a... Do what, Mr. O'Day? Throw some gas on it. Brother Kenny, I know you like to burn stuff too, don't you? It's good to have good dry wood, isn't it? But can you imagine these four barrels of water being dumped on this wood? And I know these people are thinking, this man's crazy. I mean, what kind of man is wanting wet wood and he's wanting all this water on it? And they said, you know what? We'll just go out and help you. We'll put his fire out before he ever gets started. The Bible then says that Elijah begins to pray. And I want you to notice his prayer. He says this in verse 37. He said, O Lord, hear me. He said, God, I want your attention. He said, right now, I need your attention. Do you know tonight we need some people that can get God's attention? I'm talking about that can get God's ear. And I want you to notice, Elijah wasn't praying for himself, Dad. You see, a lot of times we pray for me. What would make my life better? What would make me better than everybody else? What would encourage me? And Elijah says, Lord, hear me. He says, but don't hear for me. He says, but hear me that this people, he said, that these unbelievers may know. He says, I want you to understand. He said, I want you to hear me that these people can see you. I just had the weirdest thing happen up here. Siri is recording me preaching. She done flashed up all kinds of stuff about Elijah. And you say, preacher, what happened? Elijah got to praying. He said, I want you to show out and show up for them. I want to ask you something tonight. When we ask God to do something wrong about the tabernacle, do we do it for our enjoyment? Or that people might see God in need of a Savior? I want to say this, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Brother Chuck, this church is not about me. It's not about our assistant pastor. It's not about our youth preacher. It's not about any of us. It's about God, and that people might see He is God. You ever thought about that? God, I want you to work in my life that people know you're God. I can't help but think tonight for somebody who gets saved out of drugs and their life changes. Once they were an addict, once they were in the hell holes of the world, and when they see they get saved, how many people can say that God is real? Elijah wanted that for these group of men. He wanted that for these people. And he says, God, I want you to know. I want you to prove to them that you're God. But more than that, I want you to prove to them that they've turned their hearts on you. What about in America tonight if God was to show up and show out to show people they've turned their backs on Him? What if? Now I want you to notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell. It wasn't Brother Odin's fire, and it wasn't Elijah's fire. He didn't get two rocks and hit them together. He wasn't like Brother Don down there on the woodpile taking them sticks and rubbing them together. Has anybody in here ever started a fire that way? Anybody ever took a stick and a bow and made a fire? Billy, you have? Good. Next time I go camping, you're going with me and I ain't got a lighter. Millie back here in the back, he said he had. I've never done it. I mean, I know you get that little ember going and you get it in some straw, a little nest, and you blow on it till you get a flame and you build it up. Listen, let me tell you how I start a fire in the wood stove. I get them little thin pieces and I got a torch and I stick it in there till she starts burning. It works. Timmy, I'll take that torch and stick it in and pull the door closed with that torch and blowing that blue flame. It ain't about 5 minutes. I got a fire. And you say, what happened? Elijah's standing here. He didn't say a good 30-minute prayer, Brother Don. He didn't say a 5-minute prayer. He just said, Lord, hear me. That these people may know that you're the Lord. That they've turned their hearts and turned back on you. And the Bible says, and the fire fell from heaven. And it consumed that. And it licked up the water that he dumped in the ditch. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to have seen that, wouldn't you? To see the fire fall from heaven. It's a great accomplishment, isn't it? I mean, could you imagine these 450 prophets? And Elijah's prayed this and the fires fell. And they've been praying all day. They've cut themselves. They're bleeding. They're bloody. They're nasty. They've been talking in tongues and everything else, trying to get something to happen. And in just that quick, God shows up. We need some people that quick can get a hold of God. That can call on Him, and the presence of God would fall and show up. And it would lap the water up on the sides. And it would consume that fire. You say, why do we need that? Because I truly believe when God falls, people get saved. People get converted. I mean, can you imagine being a spectator during this going on? I mean, you're on the fence. You don't know whether you need to follow Elijah. He's the only one. You don't want to be the oddball. But everybody else is doing this. And you've watched this all day long. And this quick, it happens. But I said all that to say this. That's a great miracle, isn't it? This is the same man that God fed 3 times in the wilderness and even tested his faith at the brook of Cherith. This is the same man that faced kings. This is the same man that felt like he was all of his own. But this is also the same man that went and sat underneath a juniper tree begging God to kill him. He's the only one left because the Queen Sheba got after him. Said, I'm the only one. Said, just take me on out. But also, he's the same one that he knew the end of his life was coming. And he's seen somebody to train, to mentor, to teach. That's a good deal. Listen to me. Now pay attention to what I'm saying tonight. It's a miracle what happened here. But I think the greatest miracle is the legacy he left. I think the greatest fact of his life, listen, is that he got to a point he was depressed. He was discouraged. Now let me say this to you tonight. Some Baptists will fall out with me over this and some might get upset, but I'll say this to you tonight. Depression's real. People get depressed. Listen to me. As happy as I am all the time, y'all think I'm happy all the time? If y'all had seen me about an hour ago, you'd have thought, how in the world can he preach? I had a youngin' screaming and kicking in the floor. Wouldn't put the clothes on. Didn't want to do this. Didn't want to do that. Screaming. And she got whooped. She got a whooping. And I was upset. Her mama was upset. And guess what? She had an attitude adjustment. And then we get in the car after she snobbed and cried, and her mama took her out after I whooped her. And I get in the car, and behind all that stuff, and she goes, "Daddy, I love you." I wasn't in the state of mind to come preach. Listen to me. How many of you agree tonight? Sometimes your wagon gets overloaded.
Amen.
Sometimes you think, "I just don't know how much more I can take." You know what? We've all been under that juniper tree. We've all been to that place. Why me? I don't know how much more I can take, Lord. I don't know how much more I can bear. Lord, it's getting to be too much on me. But you know what? Elijah knew if he died and he didn't give it to somebody, Brother Chuck, that could be the end of it. He done said he was the only one. How many times throughout Scripture? Let me ask you something tonight. To be the greatest mountain mover, you've got to give it on to somebody else. Out of this congregation tonight, listen to me. There is young men, young women, children that you can mentor and teach. Because one of these days, listen, I want you to think about this. One of these days, the Lord's going to call you home. Who's going to step in your spot? Who's going to fill your pew? Who's going to fill your place in the choir? Who's going to fill my place in the pulpit? Who's going to fill our assistant pastor's role? And what I see in Elijah was his greatest accomplishment was the end of his life. He seen a young man plowing a field. I think he prayed about it. And I'm going to use Odin for witness tonight. Odin, I think you probably could teach somebody to play the bass. Dan, out of all your instruments, I think you probably could teach somebody to play something. You know what I play? You train me well. I play the radio. I'm honest with you, I'm not musically gifted. Some of you in here tonight's got hidden talents that's just beaming to come out. I mean, that's just, you might can play the guitar. You might can play the upright bass. You might can help with the organ or the piano. You got something. But what are you leaving to the next generation? What are we leaving to the younger generation? You know, tonight some of you senior saints might could just mentor a younger couple in their 20s or their 30s. You might be the one that sees them and says, "You know what? Let me just help you out." You say, "Preacher, why is that?" I love my dad. I love Mickey Brooks. But I have had Elijah. Who's your Elijah, preacher? Bud Wishaw. And you know what he told me the other night on the phone? He called me and he was upset. And I thought, he's called me twice. I was in the shower. I got out. It's 7:30. Something's got to be wrong if Preacher Bud's calling me. What's going on? And so I answered it on the second ring the next time. And he said, Preacher, he said, "I got to call you. I am so sorry." I thought, "What are you sorry for?" And he says, "You got your meeting starting this week on Friday night, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Preacher," he said, "I've booked a meeting to preach in on Saturday night. I'm not going to be able to be there." I said, "Bud." I said, "Honey." I said, "You're not preaching until Sunday morning." "But preacher, I got to be there with you." And he said, "I'll call and cancel that meeting." So I said, "No." I said, "You go preach." I said, "Don't you worry about Ron the Tabernacle on Saturday night. You go preach." He was going to cancel his meeting in Winston, in a revival meeting he was in because he overbooked. He said, "Preacher, I want to do everything I can to help you." You say, "What's that?" I thank God that an old preacher would still be willing to try to help me out. Try to mentor me. Daddy's looking at me with a puzzled look like, "Really?" Yeah. He did. And you say, "Why is that?" Because he knows, and it's exactly what he told me on the phone. He said, "Preacher, I'm not always going to be here. But while I'm here, I want to help somebody go on." Elijah's the greatest accomplishment
Wasn't the fact he sat under a juniper tree. Wasn't the fact that God delivered him so many times. Wasn't the fact that he got fed by a Shunammite woman. Wasn't the fact that he got fed by the ravens. It was the fact that he took interest in passing it on. Let me tell you something. Elisha succeeded Elijah. I heard a statement today, and me and Daddy was on the way to Winston. We was actually on the way back from Winston. Daddy always gets right with God when he rides with me in Winston.
Amen.
And today was no exception. It was busy, and I'm more of an aggressive driver. Mama's scared to ride with me anymore. But I'm more of an aggressive driver. I'm not passive. If I see an opportunity, I'm going to take it. If you're acting dumb and driving, I'm going to pass you. And I'm going to cut you off or whatever. If I've got to get off on an exit, you either go or you get gone. Brother Chuck, I about turned them turbos loose on him the other week. And we were coming up the road, and Daddy said, "Did you hear what they said about Billy Graham?" And I said this to be mischievous to Daddy. I said, "What?" He said, "You know what they said? They honored him." And they did. And I heard it, and I knew what he was going to say. He said, "They said that Billy Graham preached to more people than anybody else has ever preached to." And I said, "Okay. But I disagree." He said, "He preached those crusades. He went to Africa." He said, "How could you disagree?" He said, He preached all those crusades. They're still playing on TV. He preached in other countries. And Daddy, give me the number. He had watched the news. And Mama, he remembered the number. What was it?
215 million.
215 million is how many they think that he preached to. And I said, "I disagree." Daddy said, "What do you mean you disagree?" I said, "I don't think he did." I said, "He may have preached that." I said, "But I think Paul preached to more people than Billy did." "Not that Paul. He's just preaching to Zelma." "But the Apostle Paul. He's still preaching today." And Daddy said, "Well, I guess you're right." He got to thinking. I said, "But Daddy," I said, "Paul died, but I understand what you're saying. That he preached to that many, vocal and physically." I said, "I understand that. I'm just picking at you." But you know, I said all that to say this. Who's going to step in place of Billy Graham? Everybody's saying Franklin's going to step into it. But he'll never fill those shoes. He'll never feel what Billy did. In his life so far, he's not seen what his daddy's seen. So who's going to carry that on? Who's going to carry your place on? I want to ask you tonight, why don't you be a mountain mover and take somebody under your arm and teach them the things of God, why we do it, Brother Johnny, why we believe it, and why we should come to church? Don't you reckon tonight there's more than enough we could train that's here on Sunday morning that ain't here on a Wednesday night that you could take under? I'm not talking about the little kids. I'm talking about 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 25. You know what it might be, Brother Paul? It might be you cook dinner one night and invite a couple over to your house to get to know them. You choose somebody. Elijah chose who was going to follow him up. So tonight, would you be a mountain mover and choose somebody in this church that you'll mentor, that you'll teach, and then when it's time for you to go, they can pick your mantle up and go on. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Dan if he would come tonight, play softly on the piano.